evening, Prime Minister. For now.
Keir Starmer. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up!
Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
It's not a competition. Who can shout the loudest?
Hello, you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Kathleen. Welcome to another episode of Whinge With Us. Today we'll be going over the news and having a good old chat about it.
Okay, so we're going to jump straight in with a question to warm us up for whinging. That took a lot to say today.
Classic. It's one of those days, everybody.
I can tell it's getting close to Christmas. Talking of Christmas, Kathleen, what are your plans for over the festive period?
Well, I'm hoping to go and see my family in Ireland.
Very nice.
Big fingers crossed, though. Really big fingers crossed. I'm in central London. It seems like all of my friends have got COVID or are getting COVID or have had it, and I haven't got it yet. I think it's probably just, as I'm being very careful, but I think it's just a matter of time with living in a big city like this and being out and about. I'm taking all the precautions necessary, but I'm super hopeful that we can go. And I actually, the worst case scenario for me is being on my own at Christmas, having to be isolated by myself, which I would do if I had COVID. I would definitely do it, but I would be miserable for the entire 10 days. So I'm really hoping that that's the case. And I really hope we can just go and see family I haven't seen in 2 years and just see everybody and, you know, be around people that I love and just have a good time. And the Irish restrictions, as my understanding, are really strict. It's a lot stricter than here, but they haven't really had any Omicron in comparison to numbers that we've had. But I think, you know, things like pubs closing early and restaurants closing, and, you know, it's a different ball game over there. So we'll have to be very careful. But with a bit of luck, we're all going to be able to fly out safely, and I'm not going to get COVID-19. Brandon, what about you?
Well, I'm going to be spending time around family. And my partner, Joe, is also coming with me again, which is lovely to have him join me. We're actually going to, and it's quite strange because I've never actually gone out for Christmas before to a restaurant, right?
Mm.
But this year we're going to go to our nearby Toby Carvery because my cousin and her partner work there. Buzzing. Yes. But yeah, my cousin and her partner have never got to spend Christmas with us because they work in catering and hospitality, and it's just one of those careers where, you know, Christmas Day is for work and not for family, which is a big shame. But because they're both working on that day, we thought actually this year we're going to spend a little bit of time with them and by extension eat at Toby Carvery. But yeah, I'm buzzing for it. I'm really looking forward.
Shout out to all the hospitality workers and everyone having to work throughout the Christmas period. Absolute heroes, a lot of you, and try and take some time off if you can and be festive and enjoy the season. But you know, I've worked a lot of hospitality jobs, so I do understand that it's sometimes very difficult when everyone else is off work having a great time and you've got to clock in on a shift. It's really a terrible feeling. So hopefully listen to us and that might help you feel a little bit more Christmas. We've done a fair amount of Christmas content, I think, in the past couple of weeks. I think the Left Wingers build up to Christmas has been pretty big. I went to a carol service yesterday. And we sung, it's through masks, but we sung some like proper traditional Christmas carols. I'm talking, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I'm talking Once in Royal David City. I'm talking like Adeste Fideles. I'm talking like, you know, all the bangers and smash that you should expect from your primary school education. And hope, you know, and that made me very, very Christmassy. But I've yet to watch The Holiday, which is my favourite Christmas film.
Oh, very nice. Well, last week I actually went to Dan Jarvis's constituency Christmas party, which was absolutely lovely.
Friend of the show,
we had him on last week. Absolutely fantastic. We've had lots of great feedback from that episode, and I'm glad that you've all enjoyed it so much.
That was a great episode.
I went to this Christmas party and they had the Barnsley Met brass band there. It's so amazing to kind of hear all these Christmas tunes being played by a proper brass band, and it made me feel really Christmassy. And yeah, it's really put me in the Christmas mood. And
that's the best feeling.
I'm so excited for it.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so great. I like it when it's like a local band too. The one the carol service I went to yesterday was a local to Southwark Cathedral. So it was, yeah, like a beautiful choir and just absolutely stunning. And then I had a good sing along as well. Which you have to do it.
Which makes it all the more better.
Makes it 100 times better. And I said, I was going with a friend and I said, I'm not coming unless they're singing. That was a red line for me. That was a red line. And I stuck to it, but I was proved right.
Okay, before we jump into the episode, I think it's worth reminding you all that we've got many social media accounts and you can keep up to date with the podcast. You can help shape the episodes like the one that we're doing today. And you can join in the discussion by going to on Twitter, @left_whingers. On Instagram, the same, @left_whingers. And on Facebook, our tag is @leftwhingerspodcast. And we post out polls all the time, ask you to send in questions to us. And if you want to be more involved in the Left Whingers, that's the way to do it. Have a chat with us on our social medias.
We're all very friendly, apart from Brandon. No, I'm just kidding.
There's no need for that.
Brandon's very friendly, of course. And we love hearing your feedback and we desperately want to connect with our audience. Our audience, of course, which are across the world now, we received some really interesting notifications from Spotify a few weeks ago when everyone got their Wrapped. The Left Wingers got one as well. And we've got followers in Ireland, Greece, America. We're all over the place.
We're international.
We're international now, guys. We're international now. Welcome to 2021.
Well, that's the thing. We've got a lot of listeners that listen to us because we can see from the stats how many people listen to us and how many estimated regular listeners there are. And there's a lot of you out there, but not many of you actually interact with us on social media, which I think is such a shame.
They're sneaky.
You're very sneaky. You're very incognito.
The silent majority are for the Left Wingers. You heard it here first, guys.
So if you are listening and you enjoy our ramblings, please do get in touch with us and have a chat with us, because we're more than happy to have a conversation and to get you involved in the podcast.
Another guest that we had previously on who I'd like to talk about is Wes Streeting. So yes, Brandon, yes. I'm sure you're aware, we interviewed him together a couple of months ago, just before, I think it was just before conference, am I right?
It was, yeah.
Fantastic. You know, we both thought it was a very good interview. We pushed him a fair bit, but he gave as good as he got, to be fair to him. Really, really good answers. He's just been moved 2 weeks ago to the Shadow Health Brief. And he stood up in the Commons today on the day of recording, which is the 14th of December. And he stood up and just given the most fantastic speech, crucifying the government and just, you know, going after them completely. And, you know, friend of the show that is doing well. We love to see it. And if there's anyone that you would like to see in the Shadow Cabinet, come on the Left Wingers, tweet them, tweet us. We'd love to, you know, we'd love to make that happen. And next year, I'm sure we'll get tons more people on.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Okay, so talking about engaging with listeners and doing what the listeners want, today I put out a poll on our Twitter account asking you what you wanted us to talk about in today's episode, which Kathleen's work.
Yes, so I just want to shout out to the people that I work with, because they're absolute legends. 10 out of 10 people. I couldn't be happier. To be fair, like, they're a great bunch of guys and I'm so happy to be working with all of them. They're all incredibly talented and I've just started a new job and it's been the funnest couple of weeks I've had. A little crazy, but also very fun. So shout out to them. But in very typical office banter format, they've picked the most obscure. So Brandon put out a little poll just to see what people want to hear about. And people in my office obviously chose the most awkward one. So thanks team, that was really good.
They all chose other, which is brilliant.
Well done, guys. Love it. We love to see it. So we can talk about other, but they didn't specify what other, so yeah, I think that we could say now that we've spoken about other, so I can go in tomorrow and I can say
the people
spoken about others. If you've got any funny office stories that you'd like to tell us, please write into the Left Wingers, because we'd love to read them. That would actually be quite funny if we could do like a, you know, reading out embarrassing office stories.
Yeah,
our DMs are always open, guys. Always open.
Hey, so we're gonna jump into the topic which you, our listeners, voted for to be the focus of our episode, and that is the Nationality and Borders Bill, which has recently just passed its third reading in the House of Commons, and I believe at the moment it's going through its second reading in the Lords. So it's got past kind of the most difficult stages, arguably. And it's quite a significant shake-up to how it's
pretty massive
the asylum process and citizenship work for the UK. What do you know about it, Kathleen? Have you heard very much about it?
Yeah, I have. So this is something that I think a lot of people are picking up on outside the Westminster Village. And I will talk about other things later, but I think we're in a situation now where that's happening more and more frequently. People maybe also like Brexit, but people are kind of switching on a little bit more as to what's going on politically speaking, which I always find to be fascinating. There are always times of the year or, you know, periods throughout history where I think people are more politically engaged than other times. And this is definitely one of those times. So I think the big headline of this bill is that now that we've left the European Union, it has been said that we are now able, and we were previously not able to, although I put that in asterisks with a note on the side saying we probably were, but anyway, we're able to dictate a lot more about our immigration and asylum policy. And this is essentially Priti Patel's finest work that she's kept. I know she's kept in a drawer for a little while and it's popped out again. And it's essentially everything a right winger, conservative, somebody very tough on immigration, someone who wants to steal UKIP votes, steal that right wing vote, bring it back into the Conservatives. It's what they would want. You know, am I surprised that this is going through the Commons? Am I surprised that Tory MPs are voting for it? No, not at all. This is what we can expect now of this government. And they really hope, and I think Christmas is always an interesting time, Christmas and New Year. There's often people lax up a little bit, people change, the media is busy talking about other things. And this is the time to really sneak in some dodgy votes. So I think the past couple of weeks, they've very much exploited that. And of course, we heard today on the news, there are several, Rachel Reeves, I think, and Bridget Phillipson have got COVID or are self-isolating, thinking that they might have it. So there's a lot going on. There's MPs, Jonathan Ashworth, I think, had it last week. I think almost everyone in the shadow cabinet has had COVID or will have it at some point, I imagine. So, you know, this is a really interesting time for the government to push through bills. So what's this bill about? Basically, it's focusing on people who come to this country and claim asylum, or people that have dual citizenship, or people that go abroad or do things that are against the British state. What do I mean by that? I mean, if, for example, you do something that's seen as against British values or against what the British people would want, an act of terrorism is a good example of that. If the Home Secretary, when this bill comes into law, will have the right to strip you of your British citizenship without letting you know, because they've had trouble in the past letting people know, because obviously, you know, think about it, if you're off in a terrorist area, it's difficult to reach you to let you know. And part of that process is telling you that you've lost your citizenship. I guess in those instances it works, but I'm very worried about a lot of other people who have dual citizenship or maybe are concerned about their immigration status and think as a result now Priti Patel can literally just point fingers and say, you haven't got it, you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see how much this bill is really used. But I read that clause and I was very, very curious about it.
Well, deprivation of citizenship is not a new thing. And I know that a few people have kind of looked at the bill as if it is a new kind of invention, but actually it's been something that governments of all colours have done over time. But the thing is it has become more frequently done more recently. And I just feel like this is part of a bigger Conservative programme in being hostile to
the hostile environment.
It's the hostile environment, Mark Two. Yeah.
Mark Three, arguably. Mark,
well, yeah, however many.
Or Mark whatever. I don't even know what number we're on.
And it's so disheartening to see, because, you know, the Conservatives talk about being an outward looking nation. And they've tried to shake off the idea of the nasty party in the past. You know, that's what Theresa May classically said, that that's what the Conservative Party had been seen as. But this just seems to be proving that point, that they are the nasty party, that they don't care about minorities in general, but specifically in this case, migrants, refugees and asylum seekers. Again, like you said, I'm not surprised by this at all. And it's such a shame that the kind of other news stories that are happening at the moment about Boris and the government's failings have been able to take over the news story. And so this bill hasn't, in my eyes, got very much attention, and definitely not as much as it deserves. Yeah.
I would say, so I don't make any bones about the fact that my grandparents and my parents were immigrants. They came to this country and they built our lives and we've built our family. And I find bills like this really difficult because, you know, I don't know whether my grandparents would have been able to have come here. I don't know. You know, I just don't. I have questions like, would they, under these bills back in that day, would they have been able to come here and build the lives that they've built? Would I be doing what I do now? Would, you know, would we be prospering? Would we be doing what we do? I don't know. And I find that to be very difficult. And I always think people see asylum seekers and immigrants in such a short-sighted way, mm-hmm. and not in a way as in like, you can bring them in, they have children, they grow up with British values. If you can, you know, if you organise them successfully and you place them well, and then they can go on and contribute great things. And I think it's worth a lot of progress that has been made, even, you know, even to take, for example, the vaccine, you know, the people who made the vaccine, those scientists in Oxford were immigrants. Like, they weren't born British, they became British. And I think it's time for us as a country to really wake up to that. And yes, of course, yeah. of course, for sure, you cannot just have anyone who wants to come in can come in, no matter what, whatever. Of course not. But no one's saying that. Like, that was never on the table. And that's a false binary. What I do think also concerns me is their ability to deal with asylum seekers. And I'm worrying especially about people who are LGBTQIA+ and their ability to come into this country and claim asylum. We already know, you know, please Google if you don't believe, but, you know, in the past, like 10 or 15 years, the amount of people that have successfully claimed asylum because of their sexuality has decreased significantly. And I think under this bill, it will do so again. And these are people that are just being persecuted for being who they are. And I could never imagine a world in which, you know, that I'm openly persecuted from my country and have to flee and go somewhere else. You know, it's a very troubling process, a very tough time. And I don't think we'll be able to deal with that. Additionally, I'm also worried about their processes with asylum seekers. So if people, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, mm-hmm. is that if asylum seekers come over on a boat, they're stopped.
Yeah.
They can be stopped by Border Patrol and sent back. It's a day. I have a lot of questions surrounding that. I think that's one of the things that the rhetoric sounds really good. Stop the boats. But actually, is that the best policy? And then where are they going? Like, so they're coming somewhere.
Yeah.
And so where are they going? What I know it's going to damage our relationship with our European partners who are facing a lot of incoming over asylum seekers, over immigration. You know, well, I've got a lot of worry about it. And we have a labour shortage in this country. You know, there are people who are trying to find jobs. There are people who don't. There are employers who are desperately seeking people. We need people to come in and fill those jobs.
I mean, my concern is kind of not only the human element, because these are actual people with actual lives and real concerns and experiences. And, you know, to travel to the UK, especially across the sea, an incredibly perilous journey, incredibly dangerous. You must be in such a bad position and so desperate to have to make that journey. But internationally as well, this for me does not reflect well on the UK at all. So the bill puts into law the idea of the safe country principle, and that if somebody has passed through what the UK government deems as a safe country, then they're not able to claim asylum in the UK, which actually contravenes the UN's Refugee Convention and commonly accepted principles in terms of how countries process refugees and asylum seekers. And countries like Greece, countries like Turkey, do bear the biggest burden in terms of the amount of refugees and asylum seekers that they are currently processing and housing in their countries. And compared to, for just as an example, Turkey and Greece, the UK is taking next to no refugees and asylum seekers. And I feel like it is our responsibility as a country to kind of, as a country with quite broad shoulders, take on that little bit more burden. And it isn't necessarily a burden either. Short term, yes, but long term, as you've said, Kathleen, there's a lot of research done to show that refugees and asylum seekers become incredibly productive, more so productive citizens, as a result of the experiences that they've had.
And I'd also say, you know, we haven't forgotten, and we've spoken about this before, but the AMRAP scheme for Afghanistani refugees, was supposed to be set up in September. It's now December and we've received absolutely no update. And there's been a leak from the civil service saying that the programme has not yet been designed, let alone implemented. So Liz Truss, we see you. We know you're not doing any work. Don't think you're getting away with it because COVID's in the news. We know exactly what's going on and we're on your case. Listen, a Labour government, we have to, let's stay focused here, left-wingers. You know, a Labour government has to repeal this act day one of office. It's the bare minimum we expect. And we've got to change this, you know, insider only worry about us mentality, internally focused, to opening up and embracing the best the world has to offer and understanding that we are living in an incredible country. So it's no surprise that people want to come here. But if they're processed properly and if they're dealt with properly, then these people could really be assets to us. And, you know, maybe the next one will solve, maybe the, one of them might solve climate change. One of them might win the US Open, for example. One of them might create the next vaccine to save all our lives. You don't know. One could even be prime minister. You never know. So, you know, day one, a Labour government, I would expect this to be completely repealed. And it is breaking my heart that this bill is likely to come law.
Would we like to have a chat now about Boris
Brandon,
Johnson?
I got a joke for you.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Go on.
When's a party not a party? When it's at number 10 Downing Street.
Well, there we go.
Whee!
Whee!
You can have that one, guys. That's for the Christmas dinner table.
This
you can have
whole,
it on me, on me.
This whole situation is just...
Was it a party, Brandon? But was it? But was it?
It was. And
but was it?
It just... It makes me so embarrassed. Like, that's all I can say. It's just embarrassing. The whole ordeal from, like, the pictures that have been released to the video of... the press secretary, her name's just
Allegra
Stratton, who didn't actually do any
who's the wife of the political editor of The Spectator. we see you we know what's going on there.
Her mocking the idea of having a Christmas party in Downing Street whilst COVID restrictions are in place, to Dominic Raab saying that police don't investigate criminal acts retrospectively, which is
I think you'll find they do, Dominic.
Justice Minister. This man is in charge.
It's the Justice Minister. I love it. Yeah, they don't do it. No, what they actually do, Dominic, is they collect evidence. So they don't know something and then they start an inquiry and then they investigate. Don't worry. Left wingers, we got you. It's
oh,
good.
No, you've just been burgled. Sorry, we can't investigate.
Can't investigate because it's in the past.
An hour ago. I just, honestly, I don't.
Peter says no.
I don't want us to dwell too much on the ridiculousness of the situation because it's been rehashed so many times in the past
week.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
And
I have
has
got a point to make on this, though, which I think is really strange.
Okay, so go for it.
This is a strange point and completely not even... So there's a party, right? There's a party. And then we see the picture of Boris Johnson with his two people beside him, not social distancing or wearing masks, but we move. Doing a little Zoom quiz. I'm like, okay, a bit strange, but fine. And then, left wing, just look, at the top left-hand corner of the photo.
I know what you're about to say.
I know, but I have to say it because it's weird. So, at the top left-hand photo is what I can only assume to be a bin bag.
Well, I will tell you what
wrapped over what I think is a security camera.
Well, I thought that as well when I first saw the picture, but I can't remember which journalist has done a bit of digging, but a journalist has. And actually, although it looks like a bin bag,
is it not?
It's actually one of Carrie Simmons' redesigns.
No, stop, it's not.
And it's a curtain.
Oh, lady, get some style.
Honestly, it's a curtain
tragic.
In the corner.
No, I don't believe
that. It looks disgusting. No, it is, there's a picture of it with
nah,
it open.
I don't believe that.
But it looks disgusting.
I'm calling BS on that straight away.
Because I thought exactly the same. And I was
No, but you know, I with the stuff about Matt Hancock, I wouldn't be surprised if they were if they were covering up security cameras.
Well,
I wouldn't be
surprised.
If they know that they can be leaked, which we know that they can, because we've seen the one from Matt Hancock in his department. That security camera, there is absolutely no way that footage should have got out, which is a point I made at the time. And I think there is no doubt in my mind that somebody could have leaked what was going on.
I don't doubt that there are loads of pictures and videos.
They'll come out sooner or later.
And evidence about not just Bojo's Christmas quiz, which is interesting because apparently, you know, at Downing Street, they're incredibly stretched over the Christmas period. And, you know, I'm not a Scrooge. I'm not saying that they can't have any kind of joy over Christmas. But considering the circumstances, was it really appropriate to be having a Christmas quiz anyway in Downing Street, even if we didn't have restrictions? Like, it's just...
It just makes me sad. Like, as part of it, that just thinks like, yeah, of course they don't care. Like, of course Boris Johnson doesn't care. Of course they're only worried about themselves. But my heart goes out to the people who are working really hard to save lives or improve situations on that night. And for those people and their families who got up that morning and didn't go to bed that night because they passed away because of COVID that day. And those families who had dinner tables of people they thought were going to come and then couldn't come because they passed away during the crisis. And my heart breaks. Like I kind of realize I'm quite fortunate in this because I haven't had COVID yet. And although I've been, obeying the rules, I haven't had like massive personal loss. Like my parents are alive, my brothers were, like my family are okay. And I just, my heart goes out to people who just on that day were heartbroken and were grieving and then read. And then like the year after have to read about these people having a great time. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't only, not that just one incident would have made it okay, but it wasn't the only incident and it wasn't isolated. There's loads of examples. All the journalists like totting up how many Christmas parties there were.
I quite rate Gavin Williamson, who just was like, oh. Yeah, no, the Department of Education had one. We're really sorry.
Nothing to lose.
Okay. Like it was really like an hour's worth of news. And then it was like, no, back to the number 10 party.
Yeah.
It's like the most fantastic, like, I mean, these people, man. Elect clowns and get a circus, eh?
It's crazy. Like I just don't get the arrogance, and I genuinely
they just
believe,
think they're better. Like they, I really believe that. I really believe they just think they're better than everyone else.
And they should be better in terms of they should be role models in an ideal world. But it's not that they think that they're above everybody else, and that's the issue. And I genuinely, yeah. Hand on heart, don't think that if we had a Labour government of any,
I don't any think. Yeah, I vibes, agree. I agree.
They would have behaved in that way over Christmas. I don't believe that one second.
And it breaks my heart that we can't, that's not a big enough, we'll talk about this later in the podcast, but it breaks my heart that that's not a big enough thing to just have him resign of shame.
Well, any other prime minister would.
Do you think?
Oh yeah, I definitely think so.
There's no way he'll lose a vote of no confidence. Like the Tories MPs will just run in and back him straight away. And
there's some people, and I've seen a lot of it on Twitter, people saying, oh, call for Boris Johnson to resign. Well, yes. I would like Boris Johnson to go,
no.
But
yeah.
If we forced a resignation through, for example, trying to get a vote of no confidence through, it would just unite the Conservative Party.
The waste of parliamentary time.
And it would make us drop down in the polls, it'd make us look like we're playing politics with the situation. And I understand why people feel that way, but practically, in real terms, what is possible in Parliament? It's
the
not
man
sensible.
Should resign out of shame, though. We shouldn't
should.
Be speaking
he should.
About
he should.
He should just a shame and just be like, and just he just needs to put his hand up and say, look, you know, we really made some massive errors, and I didn't understand how serious it was, and I'm so sorry. And you know, I just despair, and like, I just feel like it's so sad. Like, it just makes me feel for those people, and you know, it annoys me. There's like some briefing from number 10 that it was like, well, these people work 12 hours a day and they work really hard together. And I was like, oh, so then that's, you know, and they were just together anyway. So they were just having wine and cheese, but they were already there. It was like, yeah, doctors were also working 12 hours a day. You know, yeah. Emergency services were also working 12 hours a day. Nurses were also working 12 hours a day. People in Tesco, in the supermarkets, were also working. Like, everyone was working hard. Yeah. There's very few people who just took it easy during the pandemic. Like, if you're a key worker, you were doing everything you could have done. And it's like, oh, but they didn't stop, did they? Because they did the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's just that level of arrogance to be like, oh, no, but they were working so hard. It's like, you were not working harder than an A&E doctor. Like, I'm sorry, you just weren't.
No.
You just weren't.
One bit of, well, the silver lining to all of this, I'm trying to think of a non-explicit word that's been happening over the past week and a bit, is the Labour lead that seems to have come as a result of it.
Mm.
And now I'm not sure that it's necessarily just this incident that has caused the Conservatives to drop down in the polls. I feel like it's, for me, straw that broke the camel's back. I feel
maybe.
It's not necessarily this on its own that suddenly made everybody so outraged, but it's the kind of consistent flouting of the rules and thinking that they're above everybody else. And I feel like this is the biggest example.
This is the biggest incident, but yeah.
But it's, I feel like that's why it's dropped off so suddenly.
Dominic Cummings, Matt Hancock. It's like, yeah. I feel like it's been leading up to this. And one of the things that I've said to people this week is I think that this has pierced the public consciousness. And the reason why I say it is because people who I know who are not political, who don't vote or vote every 4 years in a general election and then don't think about it again, and just turn up, put an X in the box and bounce, have been talking to me about it. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was that I'm a celebrity clips of Ant and Dec doing that. Very funny, to be fair to them, hilariously funny. Everybody found it funny. You could tell they were joking. Like, you can tell, like, the set, like, the cameramen laughed. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then Phil and Holly were talking to Matt Hancock, and that was, like, absolutely savage. And I was like, okay, this is normal. People who are not political are finding this interesting. And I'd be fascinated to see how that turns in the next 6 months to a year.
What shows the cut through is that I've seen people, distant relatives, sharing it on Facebook, and the Facebook vote, as I like to call it. And
the Facebook vote.
I said this to Tandesi. What Labour needs to do is figure out how to crack the Facebook vote, because it's a very particular generation, a very particular way of thinking in general, massively generalising here.
Yeah.
But we need to crack through and get those people sharing Labour's messaging.
Yeah.
And in the past week, I've seen that happen more and more, and that for me is a good sign. And I just hope that we can keep the pressure on.
Yeah. So here's where I'm worried. Mm-hmm. So yes, the Conservatives have made many mistakes. Yes, the government has made a multitude of errors. But are we going to be in a situation where the Conservatives will get rid of Boris Johnson in the next 9 months? I think we'll do another episode. We'll do a New Year special where we do predictions for the new year. And I think Boris Johnson not being the Prime Minister is high on my list.
Yeah.
So is it the case that all his mistakes go with him? Somebody like Liz Truss, who didn't have any parties and has specifically gone on the record several times saying that she's never had any parties during that period. Does she come in, new leader, different rules? She followed all the rules. So why would you put his stuff on her? You know, will it come and go with Boris Johnson? And will this be the legacy of Johnson that then leaves number 10 along with him at some point next year? And my problem is that if that's the case, we go back to where we were 2 years ago, which is the Tories are 5 or 6 points ahead. Labour, despite the fact we're 11 years into opposition, going on 12, falling behind.
I think that's the challenge now. We've kind of knocked the Conservative Party down and we've shown why they aren't a good government. But we now need to show why Labour would be a good government and why they provide a real alternative. I think most people will recognise that the Labour leadership isn't as corrupt and isn't so self-serving as this current Tory leadership. But it's about getting that message out. That means that people will go out to the polling stations and vote for us. You know, it's all right having people sat at home feeling annoyed, but what are we going to do to make people actually go and vote for us at the next election? And I'm really intrigued as to what the leadership's plan is for that.
Yeah, I just don't. We just need to claim a narrative. And I think it's so hard to do in opposition, but I can't see us winning if we don't do that. There are several ways to do it, but I think you have to just, there has to be like the next 90 days, I think are absolutely crucial in Labour nailing the narrative and getting into everyone's heads a slogan or a thought or a soundbite of like, not that, you know, rules made, you know, by them for us that they themselves don't care about. They themselves don't they don't follow their own rules. And if you can play on that sense of what I genuinely believe everyone in the British public has, one of the reasons why I love the British public is this absolute sense of British public just know when they've been mugged off. Can never take them for granted. There's like an ability that I don't think any other nation has in the world apart from British people to just have a little feeling on the back of their neck. I can't explain it. Where it's like, you just know you've been mugged off or you know you've been ripped off, and the nation hates it. British people hate being mugged off. It's one of like our worst, it's like one of the worst things you can do to a British person is mug them off in any kind of way. Yeah. And that feeling of being cheated or them playing you for fools, I think is just so heart-wrenching that it won't necessarily be that people will vote Labour, is that people won't vote Conservative. If they're if we're able to claim the narrative in the next 3 months, we've won the next general election without any shadow of a doubt in my mind. It's tough challenge.
The question is, how do we go from, as current projections are saying, a minority government to being a majority government? And I think that's what our messaging is key to in terms of what are we promising the British people come the next election. What why are we different? What is in it for the British public, apart from getting this lot out? What reason do people have to specifically come and vote for Labour and not just register a protest vote? And I think that's going to be the big challenge that Keir has. And he was on telly yesterday. He was on Mar, and he was also on telly yesterday at 7 o'clock addressing the nation, saying how Labour would be different and saying that, yes, we're supporting the government on these COVID restrictions, but we would do it differently and we would not take you for granted, is basically the message that he was giving off.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very well done.
A point to make on that. Can the journalists, can the leading journalists in the British public, in the British world, have a look at yourselves and have a plan that basically says, if you don't answer our questions, we're not putting out your message, and stick to that like it's an unforsaken rule. Like, I think it's really unfair that Boris Johnson is allowed to go on with a pre-recorded message where he looked absolutely terrible, where he can say whatever he wants and put conservative messaging, scientific messaging, you know, a mixture of pandemic messaging in one go, and then just have no, and then there's nobody's allowed to ask him a question. That's rubbish. Why would you allow that to happen? Where is the BBC? Where are these people? Why aren't they saying, like, absolutely not, you are the Prime Minister, it is our job, it is the point of British democracy that journalists are allowed to challenge you. You are not a dictator. You've been put there by the British people and they demand answers on this situation.
And that is
unbelievable.
Exactly why
unbelievable.
Boris has been avoiding announcing decisions in Parliament, and that's why Lindsay Hoyle, who's in our podcast intro, has become increasingly more and more pissed off. You know, he was put in that position because the government thought that he would be quite easy to walk over, and that, you know, he sticks to the rules, he's not going to be proactive in the same way that Burka was in giving Parliament more power. But I think they're making a huge mistake in pissing Lindsay Hoyle off, because he is very capable, whether you agree with how he takes up the speakership or not. He's a very capable individual, and he doesn't like being mugged off. And I think we're going to see a shift in how he acts as a speaker if the government continues to,
I didn't think about that,
to, you know, mug him off as an individual and mug Parliament off. And I'm really intrigued to see.
Can't muck about with parliamentary democracy. It's important. Like, you've got to come to the House. You can't be leaking things all the time. Government by leaking is not okay. It is totally unacceptable. What a quagmire, eh? Jeez, thank God it's Christmas.
Thank God it's Christmas.
To enjoy it. Jeez, holy moly. Could you imagine if it was like August? Bloody hell.
Oh, God, yeah.
You wouldn't even have Christmas to look forward to. You couldn't even sing any carols. You'd just be miserable. Ugh, government. It makes me sick. Anyway,
on that note... I think gross. It's time for us to wrap up this.
It's gross, guys. Vote Labour at the next general election.
Vote
Labour. You know what to do.
Yeah.
There's ever a time where you've just sat there and been like, oh yeah, I might be a Conservative, or I really agree with some of their policies. Guys, remember how you feel. Remember how you felt when you saw that brief, when you saw that update on the news. Remember that and carry that into the ballot box with you.
On that note, I would like to thank you so much for listening to this episode. And also, again, thank you for the positive feedback that you've been giving us over the year on our episode, and the critical feedback. Like, that is very important to us, kind of knowing how we can make our podcast better, because it's you that has to listen to it. Well, you don't have to. That's the whole point. You could turn away at any moment. So,
but don't, because we love you.
But don't, please stay with us. But yeah, that's why it's so important that you get in touch with us if you want to see us cover particular topic, if you want us to, you know, look at the way that we format our episodes. We're always open to ideas, and it's a podcast which is very flexible, and we can change it at any moment to bend to the listenership's wishes, and we will do that. So yeah, please get in touch with us.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode and to all the others throughout this year. We've had a fantastic time recording them. We've got a Christmas episode and a New Year's episode coming up. So a lot of fun still to be had with the Left Wingers before we jump into 2022, where we'll be bringing you better content more frequently with better jokes, I promise.
That's a lot to promise.
I'm going to try. It's my New Year's resolution to better jokes, guys.
Classic Labour, promising.
Well, there you go. That's tipple, isn't it? Anyway, so please go and follow our social media accounts. Brandon said them at the beginning. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Spotify, and we're on Apple Podcasts. The links are going to be in the episode description. Please like and share, and you know, send this to a friend who's maybe having a tough day or fancies, or if your mom is asking you a lot about politics, which mine is, please send it to them. They'd love to listen and hear what we think. And we appreciate you so much. Honestly, the fans you've just got us through this year, I can't even explain.
Been amazing. Keep whinging, and we'll see you soon.